We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Voting finally. I mean, this process, for those of us that live in the streetcar district, this process took forever and it was painful because it was all mail-in. There was not just, hey, if you live in here, go here and vote with your ID card. It was archaic. It was long, but we have results.
Okay, yeah. So the lead is the streetcar has passed. The extension of the streetcar, taking it then from Union Station all the way down to UMKC, has passed. And it might have been that difficulty is the reason why fewer than 10% of the approximately 35,000 eligible voters took part. Less than, so what, 3,500 people made this decision then? It passed on about a 75 to 25 margin after a six-week mail-in election. The proposed $227 million project passed. And so this would set up a new transportation development district that is bound now by the Missouri River, 53rd Street, State Line Road, and Campbell Street. That gives you an idea of what we're talking about. So now it would run along Main Street down to UMKC. Again, they had about 6 weeks to do that. So the vote authorized collection of a new 1 cent sales tax for the next 30 years. Property owners generally within a third of a mile of Main Street, but beyond in some cases, will face an additional 25-year property tax assessment that covers homes, businesses, and even traditionally tax-exempt institutions like churches. According to the Star, the measures are expected to generate money, about $25 million a year, to go toward operations and maintenance of the existing 2.2-mile starter line, so what's in place now from River Market to Union Station, and the 3.7-mile extension. Expanded service hoped to be open by 2023.
So this will go from now, once this thing gets done in 5 years, it'll go from River Market all the way to UMKC. This is, you know, this to me, and I'm a big supporter of it. I use it all the time living downtown. I think it's fantastic. I think connecting it to the plaza is going to be a game changer for those that don't have a car, don't want to drive, don't want to deal with parking, just want to get on the streetcar, boom. They got great Wi-Fi in that most of the time. I don't think it's working right now, but most of the time. And you go down to the plaza, do whatever you have to do down there, or vice versa. If you live down on that part of town, 39th Street, you can get to River Market, Crossroads, P&L, whatever you got to do.
What it will do for the first time is take it to an area, a length of area that you couldn't just walk if you wanted to. I think 2.2 miles, people would walk that if they wanted to, if they didn't want to take some kind of other public transportation. But now, with it going so far, you're really, I think, you had to start it small just to see if people would use it and would like it. But now it'll really become more useful, not just as a novelty, not just for fun, but genuinely as an alternative to public other forms of public transportation or your car. Now it's an area you wouldn't just walk.
Yeah. And as long as it stays free, that's the big if.
Which is the first thing everybody says.
Yep.
How long is it going to stay free?
It'll remain as popular as it is. I mean, I saw the stat. Over 4 million rides in the first 2 years. That's incredible for something that they weren't sure was going to work.
Yeah, and for those who don't remember exactly how this works, you don't pay higher taxes and you don't pay for the streetcar line unless you live in this district that runs along the streetcar line. The idea being that you're going to pay higher property taxes, but you are going to benefit because your property value is going to be higher because of the streetcar line. If you have businesses along the streetcar line, you're also benefiting from more business because now the streetcar is running so close to your business that you're going to get more people in that area. In fact, I know people who live close to the streetcar line who have gotten new assessments on their property and saying, wow, our property value has gone up. So when you go to sell, you're paying more up front in your property taxes while you have it, but you're going to make more when you sell your property.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So in terms of what we're talking about in terms of taxes, based on 2015 tax levy rates, the owner of a commercial property valued at $1 million would pay an additional $1,500 a year in property taxes. A home valued at $200,000 would pay an extra $266 a year. They are seeking federal money, by the way, and they did this for the first 2.2 miles as well. The KC Streetcar Authority will seek $100 million in federal funds.
I'm going to bet that they don't expect President Trump to send the federal funds to come towards this, because I know they were trying to get it expanded north using federal funds, and that got shot down. I think private donors are paying for that or something else. But I don't expect this administration to send down any federal funds for a streetcar expansion.
Well, let me point this out.
Oh, go ahead. You got a new tidbit.
No, but the next presidential election is in 2020, and this might not be finished until 2023. We might have a different president by that point.
We may.
So we I don't know that I'd be so hung up on whether President Trump likes it or not.
We may.
Just pointing out.
We also may not. Remember, we also may not.
So
you read the numbers at the beginning, by the way.
Uh-huh.
This is what you and I talk about all the time. You and I bring this up, and it just goes to show we only talk about the rock star presidential election. Maybe we get 12% for the midterms. What'd you say, 10% of voters?
Yeah, but you just talked about how hard it was.
It was very
difficult.
Voting
for president's easy. You go, you vote. That's easy. This was not simple. And the reason it was complicated was because they really, really wanted to make sure that you only voted on the streetcar if you genuinely live in the area where it's going to affect you. So that took some double checking to make sure that you are who you say you are, to make sure that you live where you say you live, to make sure that where you live is in that TDD. And so that took some work.
And I think, too, you know, you look at it from a perspective of we only want people who are seriously voting for it. I mean, that you really see the passion for or against it.
Yeah, because you're going to pay more.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to make sure you understand it.
Yeah.
Because you're kicking in more money for it.
25-29 to 8-58. Was the final score.
75-25, basically.
75-25. This was a process.
You had to get it notarized. You had to mail it in. You couldn't just go show up one day, but
you had to apply for, you had to mail in your application to get a ballot.
It passed 75-25, so mm-hmm. The people that went through the work, you know, were willing to do it.
Yeah, and I think, too, you're you know, when we talk with, I can't remember her name. I apologize. We had a guest on from the Streetcar Authority that we chatted about when the election was going on. There's also, even before we get to that, they're going to add two more cars mm-hmm. to the existing line. So they're going to go from 4 to 6. So in case you wait too long or whatever, you're going to have the opportunity. So that again will increase, I believe, more productivity, more people using it.
It's also going to get us into more residential areas than it's in now. You know, it's really going to go through the city. Right now it hits just a lot of commercial areas, but once you get into UMKC, you're really going to start getting into people's homes more. And my guess is that use is going to go up a lot more. You had to build it the first 2.2 miles to make sure everybody likes it. But once you're getting it into closer to students who aren't as likely to have cars, it'll be great because you're just going to have, my guess is that whole streetcar line is going to benefit because more people are just going to hop on and off and go back and forth a lot more quickly. I'm looking for the place where the stops are going to be. Plans call for the Main Street extension, if completed, to have stops at 27th Street, 31st Street, Armor, 39th, 43rd, 45th, somewhere between Cleaver Boulevard and 51st Street then.
Okay. All right.
So, and they spent a lot of time talking about where those stops should be. As far as I know, the thing that they haven't figured out yet is whether they're going to keep it in the median, whether they're going to keep it on the outside of the road or move it to the center. Because keeping it on the outside of the road puts parking in jeopardy a little bit more, but is safer because people step off and they're right on the curb. They talked about putting it in the middle, though, and I don't think they've settled that yet.
I'm trying to think. I don't know which one I'm a bigger fan of. I mean, for safety reasons, yeah, the current, you know, everywhere except for the north end of River Market has right or left side, you know. But I think the center might be a cool thing to do, especially if you bring up parking and if there's snow and there's an issue and cars have to scoot like an extra 2 inches off the curb or whatever. I think they may wind up going with middle, but I have no idea which way they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, we were chatting about this earlier, a story out of Independence. A mom turned her son in. Would you have done the same? We'll explain next. All right, 576-7798, the phone number, jump in. We were chatting about this earlier. Oh, we'll get to it. What's up?
Yo, sorry, just real quick. Some of you were texting in questions about the streetcar funding, and I know it's confusing, and I would just encourage you, kcstreetcar.org. has a frequently asked questions page that explains how the funding works. And I can text you all back, but it might just be easier for you just to go look at it. But just to keep in mind again, you're only going to pay for the streetcar if you live in this district. And you would know it. If you were in that district, you would know it already because you would have had the opportunity to vote. And that time has passed. And they did a pretty good job making sure that if you live on the streetcar line proposed, then you could vote on it. But if you don't live along the proposed streetcar line in this little area, essentially along Main Street, you don't have to pay for it. We did get a good question. Do people who live on the first 2.2 miles, are their taxes going to go up with this extension? No, this just means a new tax for people that live in that additional 3.7 miles.
You're not paying double tax.
You're not paying. You're already paying for it. You're already paying for what you get to benefit from. So, but yeah, it's kcstreetcar.org.
Yeah, and if you were like me and you got nonstop mailings and literature with Sly James' face on it, or you know the anti streetcar stuff coming in about how bad it is for this, you would know.
Yeah.
You, unless you're new to the area and you weren't around for that campaign, you would know.
And if you're not, then great. You get to benefit from something you don't have to pay a dime for.
Unless you go shopping in the district, you know. Well, yeah, there
but,
you go.
But you were going to pay to shop anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
all right. We chatted about this earlier, and it's a story that comes to us out of Independence. And we like your stories if you can relate. And would you have done what this Missouri mom did? A man by the name of Josh Williams, he is 28 years old from Independence, is behind bars for his alleged actions after his mom turned him into the police. The incident happened a week ago, and according to documents, he was in his car, and he pulled up and started asking a 10-year-old girl inappropriate questions and touching himself while not wearing a shirt. He's been charged with attempted child enticement and also one count of attempted statutory sodomy with a person less than 12 years old. When the little girl ran away, he took off. Now, a surveillance camera actually captured all of this from a neighbor. This helped police put out a photo of a two-door sedan he was driving. They immediately received a tip. And thanks to that tip, a detective tracked the car seen in the video to a Lee's Summit home where they came in contact with Josh Williams. While there, the guy, Josh Williams, told the detective that the car seen in the surveillance video belonged to his mom, but he added that it hadn't left the driveway. After the detective left the home, Williams' mother called the detective and said that her son lied and was acting guilty. Also, she said that he handed over the only set of keys to the car, which had been missing. The mother of the 10-year-old said it only took a moment for the man to victimize her daughter. She was bringing her neighbor's dogs to their house after finding them wandering around the neighborhood. When she encountered the man in the car, the girl dropped the dog's leashes and ran to a neighbor's house who called police immediately. Have you ever called the police on your kids? 576-7798. Have you ever called the police on your kids? And would you have done that in this case where detectives came and left? Would you have called them back? 576-7798.
Are you someone where there is no circumstance under which you would call the police on your child, no matter what they did?
We got a response like that, by the way. William writes, nope, if I was in a situation like this or any other for that matter and my parents turned me in, they'd better hope to heck they'd never be in a situation where they would desperately need my help because I'd sit and watch them fall. You don't turn your kids in. Do you agree with that? 576-7798. We'd love to hear from you. If you've ever had to call the police on your son or on your daughter, maybe it was a violent physical altercation. Maybe they're stealing. Maybe it's something like this.
How do you not turn your kid in?
Where's the line?
At least if there is a victim that is not you. If your kid stole from you, I guess that's a decision you can make for yourself. But if your child or your adult child is molesting a kid, or abusing a kid, or hurt somebody else, and you don't say something, then when that person does it again and has another victim, that's on you. Right. You know, you are not stopping your child from hurting more people.
Jamie, what if your 12-year-old son stole your neighbor's wallet? You call the police? Let's say you know that neighbor. Let's say it's a good friend.
And they know their wallet's been stolen, but they don't know who, and you know it was them.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like, where's the line for everyone?
Probably at that point, I think you make your kid go talk to the neighbor and okay. Let the neighbor decide. Right. You know, that way your kid still does the right thing and fesses up. about stealing the wallet and still has to face some music there, and then you let the neighbor decide.
Because I could play the what if, I could bring up a million of these things, and it's just, where's that line for you? 576-7798. We'll start with someone who would like to remain anonymous on KMBZ. Hello, anonymous.
So I know this kid, and I worked with him for a little while, and he's a known drug user, and he's been in trouble with that in the past. And so I'm not making any excuse for what he did, but I know he was on drugs when he did this. And, you know, his parents have had a lot of problems with him in the past. And so I can fully understand why his parents would turn him in. And, you know, I don't know where you draw the line. Petty theft is one thing, Pino, not turn your kid in for. But this is, you know, what else is he doing if he's willing to go wang his weenie around town at a little kid?
I don't know the answer to that, and I've never heard the terminology used like that, but we appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks. Let's go to Graham on KMBZ. Graham, your parents ever call the police on you?
My brother, years and years ago.
Oh, sure it was your brother, Graham. Sure. No, I'm kidding.
He was about 13, and him and his buddy went to the local Kmart and decided to steal a bunch of baseball cards. Well, they got caught, and the security in the Lee Summit Police Department called my mom, and she said, "Take him to jail. I'll be up in a few hours." And she just sat there and just fumed, and they called back and said, "No, you know, he's 13. You can't, you know, we don't want to do this. We can't do this, you know, blah, blah, blah." And she said, "Nope, take him to jail," and hung the phone up again. Well, they got my dad's number, and my dad said, "Put him in the cop car. I'll be down in about 45 minutes. That's how long it takes me to get there." So they sat in the cop car for about 45 minutes, and I think they learned a pretty good lesson that day, but my mom was pretty much done. It was throw him in jail. I'll be down later.
I have been in the back of a cop car, not for a legal reason, but I have been in the back of a cop car twice in my life. I mean, even though I was completely innocent and had done nothing wrong and there was no reason for the police to be there, that's still intimidating. Now, if you've really committed a crime like his brother, that's going to last with you for a long, long time. Hey, Graham, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go to Margie on KMBZ. Hey, Margie.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing all right. You ever called the cops on your kids?
When this has been years ago. I'm 55 now, but when my son was 13, he was at his bus stop with his sister and some kids, and one of the kids, some people across the street, it was snowing out, and they went out and started the car, and one of the kids at the bus stop stole it, and my son got in the car with him.
Oh.
So I called the police to tell him, because my son was really big for his age, and I didn't want him to just shoot him or something, or think he manhandling because they thought he was an adult, because he wasn't. And I did it for his safety, not to turn him in so he'd get in trouble. But when he got home, he didn't get caught. I was behind him all day long everywhere and missed him 5 minutes from each spot. And I took him down to the police station, made him turn himself in, and he was in Mason for a year and a half and had to pay restitution. And I think it was the best thing for him because he hasn't been in trouble since.
I was going to say, what's life like for him now? Is he a good kid?
He is a really good kid. I mean, he's had his little ups and downs, but no law trouble. And like I told him, I said, we lived in Northeast. It was a bad neighborhood. I said, you don't know whose car that was. You don't know what was in that trunk. That could have been a drug dealer's car with their drugs and guns in it, and they would have found you and shot you.
Yeah, it probably would have been worse if it was something along those lines than if the police did find you. Hey, Margie, thanks for the phone call. 576-7798. You can text in 22980.
Does anybody feel like it's on them to punish their kids for crimes?
As opposed to the police?
Yeah, that they could do a better job teaching that lesson to their kids than jail could. Or at the very least, they wouldn't have to subject them to some of the bad stuff in jail. And they could still teach them a lesson anyway. And I don't know at what point then you draw that line. But if it's for marijuana possession or something, if you find them with a couple joints or whatever, you know, do you feel like, well, I can teach them that lesson. Don't have to turn them into police.
Again, I wonder where that line is, you know. Hey, that's a good question. Would you have done what this woman did in Lee's Summit? Her son is a 28-year-old by the name of Joshua Williams. He's being charged with attempted enticement of a child and a count of attempted statutory sodomy with a person less than 12 years old. According to documents, Josh Williams was not wearing a shirt when he pulled up in his car and started asking a 10-year-old girl inappropriate questions and touching himself. Police got to his house. He said it wasn't him. Police left. Mom called the detectives back to say her son was lying. Would you have done that? 576-7798. And have you ever had to call the cops on your kids? Let's go back to the phones and talk to Lisa on KMBZ. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hi, guys. Yeah, this is a real good question. And my main thing on this is, number one, my fear for what would happen to him in jail is very intense. Plus the fact that I think we've proven that prison does not fix pedophiles. But what I would do is I would run and not walk to the nearest psychologist, somebody with a PhD with history of this. I'd have a full evaluation of this kid. I would get him in class, whatever the doctors recommended. And from that point on, I guess he still is at home. He would be under a microscope. And if he had a nonchalant, whatever, attitude about it, then, yeah, I probably would call the police. Because that it's going to happen again. If he doesn't get help, this situation will happen again.
Seems like it'd be a pattern. Hey, Lisa, thank you so much for the phone call. Someone else would like to remain anonymous. You're on KMBZ. Hello, anonymous.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead. That's all right.
You know, I have a 17-year-old son, and over the last several years, I've called three times. The first time, he was in sixth grade, walked to school, didn't get there, scared everybody to death, and told me that teenagers ran him into the woods, which I knew was a lie. So I got the police involved, and they talked him through it, did a great job. You know, he circled around to his lie and fessed up to what happened. And then another instance, actually just last year, he threatened to commit suicide. So I called the police. And sometimes I am a single parent. Sometimes you need backup. Did I think they were going to arrest him? Absolutely not. But under the circumstances, everybody has that breaking point. And if somebody like this young man or older man is doing something to a 10-year-old kid, then there's some deep-seated issues. And he needs help beyond parenting. And I don't think there's a problem with that. And I give that mother serious kudos for making that phone call.
Can I ask real quick, did you, in all the times that you called police, have any fear about, you're kind of relinquishing control at that point. You know, once you put it in police hands, somebody else gets to decide what's going to happen to your kid moving forward. And it might not necessarily be what you want. It might be more extreme than what you're looking for. Any fear about that along the way?
You know, not a lot, really, because I had open conversations with them before ever having them come over. So, again, it depends on the situation. If he was stealing, if he was being inappropriate like this one, I would absolutely have a fear of that. But, again, everybody makes decisions, and sometimes those decisions have some serious consequences. Do I want him to go to prison? Absolutely not. I have a great kid. I really do. But I also really firmly believe in preventing things like that. So sometimes when you have a fear put into you besides a parent, it goes a lot further.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Thanks for sharing your story. Let's go to Dee on 98.1 KMBZ. Hi, Dee.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, and I love your show.
Thank you.
My mom called my brother. He was AWOL from the Air Force, and he was at a friend's house, and the police came and picked him up, and he went back to the Air Force and got an honorable discharge.
Okay. Go on.
That's it.
Oh, all right. I got you. So you turned your brother in for going AWOL.
My mom turned
your mother.
Yeah.
Can I ask what the relationship is like now between the two?
They are awesome. Everything's good.
Really? I mean, what was it like when it went down and shortly after?
My brother knew he was doing wrong, and he was gone for about 3 months, and he didn't like the Air Force. And so my mom found out where he was and called his sergeant, and they came and picked him up.
Wow. Thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it, D. That opens up a line for you, 576-7798. Mary, you're on KMBZ. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you today?
Hey, not bad. What's up?
Well, I tell you what, my son was 14 when he started running away from home. 15, he finally got arrested for assaulting an officer, resisting arrest, and numerous other things. Next time I seen him was at court. He was in shackles, and his wrists were cuffed to his waist. The judge tried to get me to take him home. I said, no. They said, we'll do in-house arrest. I said, no. They sent him to Sears Youth Center. He was there for over 6 months.
Wow.
All the holidays, his 16th birthday, everything. He come home. He was a different kid. Then he got in trouble again. Got caught with over a gram of meth on him. He got put on probation for like 5-6 years. And now he's in his 40s. He's a successful young man. He lives in an exclusive neighborhood in over a $300,000 home. Has two children that walk the straight and narrow. He's a success story. And our relationship is fabulous. And
good.
He tells me all the time, if I hadn't have done that, he doesn't know where he would have been.
Well, I'm glad you stepped in when you did, Mary. It's a great story. Sometimes you got to go through some dark times, I guess. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go to, I think it's Callie or Kaylee on KMBZ. What's up?
Hey, I had just had Mary's story. She already told my first story with my daughter. She caught me once in her teens, and, waited until she went to sleep.
I'm sorry. I'm having a real tough time hearing you. Would you
okay,
mind speaking up,
better?
Please?
That's better?
Much better.
Better.
Please start
okay.
over.
I'm sorry. Mary told my story. Mine was a daughter, and she clocked me once, and I waited for her to go to sleep. Then I called the police. She woke up to them arresting her, and she went to juvenile court because I said, no, that's where she needs to be. She stayed for 6 months. She did all the holidays, all the things Mary said. And today she's in her 40s. She is a successful nurse and working on her master's degree, and we have a great relationship. But the one thing that I wanted to say is, as far as the horrible stuff that's going on, I've mentored a young man who is young enough to be my grandson. And he, I don't know where he's taking this, but I have gotten late night calls, video calls on Snapchat. And at first I didn't want to believe it, but I mean, very inappropriate pictures and videos of him doing different things. And so I have called the police. And I don't want to wreck his life because I think there's something seriously wrong with him. He's super charismatic, nice kid. But, you know, when you pick on a 65-year-old woman to do that with, there's something seriously wrong. And he's getting married. Now, do I tell his fiance and that they have a baby together? Do I tell them that and stop it? Because I think she'll break up with him. Or do I just let it ride? I would like to hear people respond back.
Kayla, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. And the fact that you're mentoring is pretty amazing. Thank you so much for that. We're going to need a few more phone calls up coming up before we send it off to Dana and Parks. I have seen and spoken to Dana. She is back with us today. We'll take some more calls. Brad, Tim, stick right there. We'll come to you next, 576-7798. All right, have you ever had to call the cops on your kids? Excuse me. 576-7798. Right back to the phones, and let's go to Brad on KMBZ. Brad, you got kids? Brad, I can hear you. Going once. Brad, going twice. Tim, you're on KMBZ. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I've got two kids. I've got a son and a daughter, and I had to call the police on my daughter when she was a juvenile. I had gotten custody of her. And she wanted to go see her mother, and I told her that if her mother could come up here, I live up North Kansas City, that she could come up here and see her. And she goes, well, I'm going to walk down and see her. And I said, you do that, and I'm going to report you as a runaway. And she started packing her clothes, and I called the police. And they got here, and I said, she's threatening to run away. I said, take her to juvenile.
Wow. Is that is that the usual step, Tim?
I had a lot of things that escalated before that.
Sure.
So that was really my last option. So they talked with her and told her, said, you got a nice house here, you've got cable TV. They don't have cable in juvenile. She had a computer, and they said you wouldn't have that in juvenile, and you probably eat pretty good here, and you're not going to eat good in juvenile. And they kind of talked her out of not going.
Tim, how old was she at the time?
16.
16. When was this?
This has been about 10 years ago.
About 10 years. How are you guys now?
We still have our troubles. She's been in and out of trouble, since her mother and I got a divorce. It took me about a year and a half, 2 years to get custody of her. But with what her mother let her do prior to me getting custody of her, it was hard to line her out. And she's been in and out of trouble since.
Gotcha. Hey, man, it sounds like it's a battle. We appreciate you sharing your story. Thanks so much for it. I mean, I've told this earlier. My mother and my sister did not get along around. Actually, it was the time when Magic Johnson was announcing to the world that he was retiring from basketball because he contracted HIV.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that night now vividly, man. And the police had to come. My sister was a problem child. She'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, she stole my mother's car, and the police were called on her. It happens. And we took a ton of stories earlier in the show. We took a ton during this hour, and thanks to everybody for getting in. But yeah, I'll never remember when the police show up and they have to, you have to be detained, and it's okay. Where's a safe place for her to go? Where's a safe place for you to go? Sister wound up going to live with my dad from that night forward, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it can lead to that. And I don't know if I would be able to, like in Tim's case, say, hey, if you're going to run, I have to call the police and then send you to juvenile, juvie hall or whatever it would be.
Right.
So it's one of those where I don't know if I'd have the guts to do it. I don't know what the line is, though. On stealing a wallet from the neighbor. What if you drove your car into the neighbor's yard and you messed that up and ran over a fence? I don't know where the line is at. I have no idea. But hopefully it never comes to it, right? We all hope it never comes to it.
That is true. Real quick, do you have KBZ's Twitter account up?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Not to end the show kind of on a sour note, but 9 o'clock tomorrow morning is when we have the memorial service for the two Wyandotte County deputies, and there's probably some information to pass along in terms of road closures and that kind of stuff and the route that's going to take tomorrow morning at 9.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Tomorrow at Children's Mercy Park, the joint funeral service for deputies Teresa King and Patrick Rohrer, who were shot and killed last Friday, is going to be tomorrow. Following the funeral, the processional will take the deputies' bodies from Children's Mercy to a funeral home in Shawnee. Around 500 vehicles are expected to participate in the processional. And like you mentioned, there's some roads that are going to be closed along the road. It will roll from Western KCK along State Avenue east into downtown KCK. From there, it'll travel on South 7th Street and onto I-35. The processional will exit onto Merriam Drive at Antioch, and then go on to Johnson Drive, and a portion of Johnson Drive will be closed at some point between 11:30 and 2. If you want to see it, go to KMBZ.com. That story is up there with the roads and everything that's going to be closed tomorrow, and it's also, as mentioned, on our Twitter page at KMBZ Radio.
So again, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, so mm-hmm. Just be ready for that if you're out and about mid-morning tomorrow.
Yeah. This isn't a term that I've heard before, but I'd like to throw it your way. You ever heard of the term lava selfies? Is that something you've heard
of? No, but I suspect I know where this is going.
So this is something that we rarely have seen go on this long. Like, we still have lava all over, flowing lava all over an island in Hawaii.
It's picking up. It's starting, yeah, we're starting to get more of it now.
Oh, good. Great. We're getting more lava. This is something that I don't know if this happens across the globe. I'm not shocked. It's Americans that do this. Tourists in parks across Hawaii are now facing fines of up to $5,000 and have been threatened with potential jail time for trying to get close-up pictures of fast-moving lava from the eruption of the Kilauea volcano. At least 40 tourists to Hawaii's Big Island have been arrested since early May, the eruption of Kilauea. Most of the tourists, and even some full-time Hawaiian residents, are arrested on loitering charges as they tried snapping lava selfies.
I am not in any way surprised. This doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
It's not very often that a volcano erupts at all, let alone where it would be in a place that you might already have a vacation planned, and you may never see it again.
It's
I'm
true.
Not saying I advocate, but at least this is a rarity.
How close can you get to lava?
I don't have no idea.
Like, I mean...
no idea.
It's got to be really, really hot. Like, we think it's hot outside when it's 106. Like, I have no idea how close you can actually get. I know with zoom lenses and stuff like that, with the erupting volcanoes in the background. But, like, I'm under the impression you're not supposed to get very close to lava, A, because your body physically can't take it, and B, can't stuff, like, pop up? You know, like, boil and sizzle, like, grease on a pan?
Would assume so. And I don't know how much of it they've got blocked off. You know, I don't know how close they're letting you get. But I don't know if you can, you know, block every... I mean, it's going in every direction, so I don't know.
It's just nuts to me. Hey, what do you want to do? Let's go walk up to that volcano and grab ourselves a selfie. How close do you think we can get? I don't know. Make sure you have your shorts on, though. That way, when some of the lava spits up, it immediately melts your leg. Like, you're not surviving. Your body part isn't surviving that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like hot water, you get a scalding burn. You're not surviving a lava splatter.
Yeah. So eruptions began May 3rd. That's how long this has been going. The crater summit has lost the equivalent of 100,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools in terms of what has spit up out of it. And they say the magma chambers are fueling the collapse of the summit. That's new yesterday from the Geological Survey. So the summit may cave in.
So this, like, the weight of it and the heat and the disintegration of all that stuff?
The extent of what I know about science. so there are new pictures out that are showing the extent of the crater that is widening. Those were taken by a helicopter, and it puts the size into context. There have been more gas and ash emissions coming out of the summit with a plume that's going 5,000 feet up. The pictures are pretty stunning, actually, that you can see.
The pictures are great, but those are with people who have, you know, great lenses from far distances. Not me with my phone going like, all right, everybody climb in, get in the frame.
570 homes have been lost now.
Jeez.
Because of it.
That's worse than the wildfires, right? Up in the Pacific Northwest, up in California.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.